It is Thursday, the 13th of September, and this is episode 134 of Digital Outbox. Yes, I'm Chris. I am back. I'm back in the hot seat. And I'm joined by Ian.
And I'm here.
Yep. And Henry is on his way home. Not here, unfortunately. So we haven't got Henry with us.
No, but we do have an insightful review from or a thought from Henry on the iPhone 5.
Yes. So we'll input that at an opportune moment, right?
I know we've got a lot to cover, but I've just had a stunning thought.
Ooh.
See at the start, when I was hosting last week, I was like episode 133, and I thought, this is getting a mouthful. We should do what DC Comics and Marvel do and just start at zero again.
Just go back to zero.
Start at zero. We'll get a whole load of more listeners. We'll say we're started again. And we'll just rebrand. Fantastic.
Rebrand as EE.
No.
I just wanted to say, I don't know whether you covered it in my absence last week, but I'm really enjoying the new Sky Plus app on for iOS. Lets you control your TV basically straight from your iPad, and it's great. So it means you can get to this without interrupting your Big Brother Celebrity Final and things like that. You can actually see your Sky guide and change channels or set things to record.
Do you honestly still watch that?
Yeah.
Oh, cock. Honestly.
I know, and I've just let everybody know.
It's a very good app, must admit. It's a big upgrade. It syncs for your box now, so you can just, you know, control it, press play. And I guess the next bit, I wonder if we will get to see things like, you know, your recordings are available elsewhere and all that kind of stuff.
That was exactly what I was going to say. That is the next step that I want. I would like to be able to see the recorded items that I've got in my box, just like a sling box, basically. I want that. I want it now. You know, Sky, believe in better. I will when you give me that.
Dear Rupert Murdoch, I know I secretly hate you.
But if you could, please, it'd be very nice. Maybe just, yeah. Hey,
and sponsor anyway. The podcast. That was pretty.
Ooh, that'd be nice. I'd take that money. right, let's get on with the news then. And we're actually going to start with eBaygum. It's Everything Everywhere have rebranded themselves as, well, officially, it is EE.
I just think, right, so I'm confused. So Everything Everywhere, I thought, was the worst name ever. And I thought...
It's crap.
And I thought it was some overarching, you know, daddy brand to Orange.
That's how they launched it. It was just something to look after Orange and T-Mobile.
Yep, but now they are going to rebrand everything. It is going to be EE. And I was looking at it going, how do you pronounce that? Is it EE? Is it EE? The worst thing on their Twitter account, they actually put a graphic up saying how to pronounce her name. Is that not the total failure of a brand where you have to say, here's how to pronounce her name?
And they've told us that we have to take a breath between saying E. Now, no one is ever going to do that.
E?
E. E.
E. My breathing, that'd take a while.
Oh, sounds like you're out of breath. Anyway, they have launched, so that effectively they are now going to, instead of being the overarching brand, they are going to be put forward as the super fast mobile network. So as well as having their 4G, which they have been given permission to roll out ahead of the real auction, they are also going to be the brand associated with their fiber broadband network.
Which I am assuming is just the Orange broadband fibre network that was out there already. So,
I mean, we're talking about this new brand taking over. Orange is one of the strongest brands in the country. It's been constantly, you know, touted as being this excellent brand. And it just seems like they're now shoving it.
And all the shops, all Orange and T-Mobile shops are going to be rebranded as
EE. I'm going to the EE shop. So it seems like Orange is going to be, I mean, they still exist as brands, but it seems they are going to be sub brands inside these EE stores.
Anyway, we're being hypercritical on this, totally.
Because
the bigger thing was 4G.
Yeah, so effectively they're going to use some of their bandwidth, some of their spectrum to launch their 4G service. Just so happens to coincide with the service that Apple's new iPhone's going to be using, which is peeing off, to put it mildly, all of their competition. O2 are livid, I think, because they're patiently waiting for the auction that never seems to happen for this bandwidth. And they are saying, well, it's just not fair. Wah, wah, wah.
So let's split this up. So it's coming to the UK. It's going to be out by the end of the year, and it's coming to six.
Subject to approval.
No, it is. It's going to be out by the end of the year.
O2 are trying to stop it.
No.
Legally.
No. The government has brokered a deal, and that legal bid has been dropped.
So how out of date I am. I'm probably only half an hour out of date, but there you go.
or maybe this is me making stuff up. But yeah.
One or the other.
We'll never know.
Your source for awesome news.
But about by the end of the year, it's come to 16 cities, which I thought was a bit mean at first. The 16 cities are London, Edinburgh, Cardiff, Belfast, Birmingham, Bristol, Derby, Glasgow, woohoo, Hull, Leeds, Liverpool, Manchester, Newcastle, Nottingham, Sheffield, and Southampton. But that does seemingly, and at first I was like, I bet you this is just like the city centre. It's not going to be...
Yeah, one mast in the middle of town, yeah.
But they say by the end of this year, there'll be coverage for 20 million people.
Yeah, so they look like they're going to... Their idea is to really to scale up quick and within a couple of years be 98% covered, which is probably as good as they are on the 3G network.
There was an Engadget test post the other day. It's been enabled in... where has it been enabled in already? It's been enabled in a couple of places, London, Bristol, Cardiff and Birmingham, so they can do tests. And Engadget had a phone that was in one of the places and they were getting 40 down and 20 up.
Which is great, but it's totally irrelevant because that's them on a nice wide highway all on their own. There's no one else competing, so it doesn't mean anything, but that is pretty spectacular.
The early 3G tests were a bit like that. Ooh, I'm getting 2 meg, and then you get it and you're getting, why am I getting 2K?
And not only that, 40 meg download. How long's your 500 meg allowance for your whole month is going to be used up in a few seconds?
And I think I'm tempted to say we'll come on to that later because I've had to make a decision today all around about who I moved to. So there's been a bit of kind of like, ooh, what will it do?
Yeah, see, no question that he's going to get this phone and he's going to want to meet this.
What phone?
Where do I move to? Where do I go?
What phone?
Yeah.
Speaking of phones, when EE launched on Tuesday, they actually said there was a number of phones and devices. There was the Samsung Galaxy S3 LTE. There was the Nokia Lumia 920, which is a brand new Windows 8 phone, which we covered last week. The Oculus Lumia 820, which is the brand new phone that we didn't cover last week because it's worse than the 920. There was the HTC One XL. One day we're going to run out of names for all these phones. And then there was the Huawei?
I have no idea.
Huawei Ascend P1 LTE and the Huawei E589 mobile Wi-Fi. So that's a dongle. So if you don't want to buy one of the devices but you want to take advantage of 4G, you can.
I think it's so we haven't said yet. It's officially it's called the LTE version of 4G, which is I think considered the best and fastest. But I think these letters are going to become more and more important as we go on because I thought the whole point of the auction was going to be to make sure we had a concise and singular 4G network, whereas America have seen real fragmentation, which has caused a whole ton of pain. Anyway, so
well, what I didn't know,
the EE network is an LTE network.
What I didn't know, there's 42 officially recognized bands for LTE. It is a mess.
Yes.
So it's really quite an issue. And they're also, as you said earlier, they're going to be doing home broadband as well over a fiber network.
Yeah, so effectively they're pushing their fiber, super fast broadband into that same brand so that the brand stands for that fast broadband.
So I guess what I'm interested in, I'm sitting in Glasgow, I'm likely to be able to get that service. There's no word on pricing, there's no word on bandwidth, because I think one of the key things is When we covered Kindle Fire last week and we talked about how cheap their LTE offering was, it was the fact that, yes, you're going to get fantastic speeds, but you only had a 250 meg limit a month, which was like...
I mean, literally, you could sneeze at that and accidentally use that.
That is literally streaming a couple of albums, and it's gone. What's your thoughts?
About cost, I think it's going to cost an awful lot of money. And they're going to screw you double again because they're going to charge you lots and still not give you very much bandwidth. Because they'll be naturally cautious of it. Because again, like all their adverts are, you know, this is going to mean video can be played as video is supposed to be played. It's going to be great. I mean, I guess the whole idea of 4G and LTE is supposed to be that it's got more bandwidth to play with, as you know, they're not so restricted and it's not like it's limited as much as 3G has been. But 3G's, you know, they don't let you use it for what you want to use it for, and they won't let you use this for what you want to use it for.
No,
their idea, you know, they want to offer it, but they don't want to give it.
And I do wonder. I mean, we are moving on to 4G, and so many people that I work with, and I guess you as well, and we talk quite often about this, just don't have a reliable, good 3G even.
No, absolutely not. And now they're giving away all their network to 4G. Not all their network, obviously a portion of it, but. Yes, we shall see. We shall see.
I'm a bit biased. I'm pleased to see that we're stepping forward because I think to take.
You're only saying this because you want the phone.
No, I just think to take advantage of things like all my data in the cloud or whatever.
We need to do it, yeah. But I just don't. The infrastructure's just not keeping up with what we need to, and it's quite a hard thing for infrastructure too because it takes an awful lot of money to set all these things up.
I'm pleased from the point of view that at least we're making progress, as in there is options in the country coming forward, and 3G speeds in certain areas are getting faster and faster. So I do think we are getting there. I do wonder about cost and early adopter tax.
I haven't even followed along how expensive it is in America at the moment.
And there's a couple of interesting things we'll come on to probably after the next one, just round about EE.
Right, so everyone, you know, as ever, Nick is in a twist. Apple Events, woohoo, came along and pretty much told us what the rumours were this time.
I was
confirmed all the rumours.
I was pretty bored.
If you don't listen to the rumours, it's all new because I honestly hadn't heard any bit of the rumours through because I just avoid it all. Mostly because I think it's a load of rubbish. It turns out this time actually they're all pretty true. So they came out and they've I'm sure you'll want to go through some stats, but effectively at the event they gave us a new iPhone. They gave us
I'm going to translate that.
Not that you're getting a reputation.
No, I'm going to translate that. I'm sure you want to go through some stats because you're a sad bugger that enjoys this kind of thing.
But they came out with a new iPhone. They came up with some new iTunes stuff. And gave us some new iPods and earpods.
Oh.
Come on to them later.
Can't wait.
Do you want to go through any stats or are you go?
No, I feel well. Okay,
you feel?
No, I'm going to do it. The one that surprised me. I will not be deterred. And see if I play it back tomorrow and it sounds bad, just cut it out. Never happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
27% market share for laptops in America. I was quite surprised.
This is how they put it. We are a 27% market share in laptops the last 3 months. So it's only over a small period of time.
No, but what they're saying is how much they've jumped.
Oh, yeah, it's jumped massive by, about 10%.
Yeah, and I quite liked his little zing. This is Tim. I quite liked his little zing. He was talking about iPads and saying that, you know, last year or the last couple of years it's been exclusive, but there's so many competitors now. But their market share has actually gone up this year. And also that although they've got 68% market share, they do account for 91% of the web traffic from tablets. I don't know what these other tablets are doing. They must be in warehouses or in store shelves or maybe in someone's drawer. I quite like that.
Suggesting that people keep buying them and then don't use them. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the stats over, apart from Brilliant. The new iPhone 5 stats.
So basically, iPhone 5, it's very much similar to... Well, it's a evolution of their product line, so it looks kind of similar, but it's just a bit taller. So it is now a 16 by 9 aspect phone. So there are more pixels at the top and bottom, which gives you 5 rows of icons rather than 4. Exciting days. And it's smaller and thinner. It's thinner and it's lighter, I should say. And from reports of people actually getting hold of it, it's actually noticeably and perceivably lighter in your hand in a kind of, oh, I wasn't expecting that type way.
Yeah, because they're saying, I mean, 18% thinner. It already is thinnish, but, you know, to go thinner again and to be taller, but I think it's the lighter. They're saying you perceive a certain weight, and when you go to pick it up, you're like, there's nothing there.
Now, would you have preferred them to use that extra 20% to whack in more battery? That's the question. Did it need to be thinner? Does it need to be thinner? Isn't it fine already?
And it's funny. I kind of think that, you know, I'm happy with how... I don't get too fussed about how thin can you go.
No, exactly. Where does it end up? We're a micron thin, and every time you pick it up, you slice your fingers off.
I get, yeah,
but it's, you know, really featherweight.
I get more kind of like, when I start to think about the bigger phones, I think, you know, would I be comfortable using it and stuff? Because I've really got used to using this size of phone, and I never look at it and go, God, this is a brick.
No, exactly.
Never crosses my mind.
And actually, sometimes a heavier device makes you know, feels nice. But I mean, people who have picked it up, you can only go by their reports, because we're not going to get to touch one for a while now.
The nice thing for me,
they like it.
On design wise, is just the fact that they've done away with the solid glass back, and it's now aluminium. And it looks, I actually like the look of that. And I think it'll feel nicer in the hand, less need for a case, because I don't have a protector on my screen, but I have a thing on the back to kind of stop it all scraping, because it tends to get scraped more there. And I just think design-wise, it looks more, I don't know, substantial. You know, it just looks
yes.
So like the unibody, they talked about unibody, and they never really mentioned it too much yesterday, but it felt like they've taken maybe some of the design cues from like the, you know, the MacBook Airs and the MacBook, you know, Retinas, and how solid it feels. It looks like that to me.
They've also added a chamfered edge, so there's an angled edge around the front face and I think around the back as well. And actually, it worked quite well. It shines basically in weird different ways, so it actually glitters a bit. It's quite clever, really, just to add a little chamfer on the edge of your phone. They sort of talked about how anal they've become about, you know, the accuracy of their manufacturing, and yeah, you know, all impressive stuff. They really do care about the microns.
I might have yawned during that, but to be honest,
yeah, but it was Johnny, he's putting back on a bit of weight, isn't he? Anyway,
you can tell you've spent the last 3 weeks watching Celebrity Big Brother. Yeah. It's all about the chamfered edge. It's all about Johnny's weight.
So they gave us more guff about you know, screen's amazing. They put in sRGB, so colours pop, and right, the colour correction and right, accuracy is good, wonderful. New chip, so A6, I believe it's still. I mean, they don't really give all the information away, but it's effectively a faster chip, but it's still only dual core, as far as I understand.
Yeah, and I think what they're saying,
it's giving them twice as fast graphics and CPU.
Yeah, compared to the A5. And I mean, the one we've kind of skipped over there, and I know we've mentioned it previously, but it was ultra. A lot of people are saying there's no way they'll do LTE, but they've actually got LTE in it, and also HSPA and HSDPA and. And it looks,
it's got all the dual band wireless in it, exactly, as well. And it's got it's dual band, and also all the N specifications and all that. So in your home, it should also be pretty quick.
Yep. And also wireless. The many worldwide partners, but the important one for UK is that they are partnering with E.
And they showed us the thing running Real Racing 3. And I have to say, the on-screen demo looked pretty impressive.
It did.
So, you know, wow. I don't think we need to really cover that as an app, but
no,
they were talking about, yeah.
Because every phone that's launched talks about console quality graphics, and it's not, let's be honest.
And plus, it's Real Racing is fine for a bit, and it's really quite rubbish because you need a controller. Sorry, you do. Battery life. Now, this is effectively, they've kept the battery life consistent and steady. It looks about the same as the 4S. But that's what I'm saying. Would that 20% have been better to increase? Because everyone moans
me,
that
yes,
it's not quite long enough.
Yep, for me, yes, because then I could turn on things like, I mean, there's all that stuff round about there. I'm trying to remember, you know, how the walled notification type thing, you know, so when I go home,
yep,
I don't have that on because it sucks the battery life.
So, and that's that. It's so annoying having a phone that you don't. You're frightened of using all the features, and it's always been the case with smartphones, because you're frightened of turning everything on because it does. It just drains. It sucks. And then when you actually need it to for a phone call, you think, oh my god, and it gets panic stations where you what do you do? Same with any smartphone. So why not use that 20% of space, which no one's really going to care about long term.
I don't think
so. Other than they just kept telling us. Because it's almost like they're a bit fixated on making these things smaller and thinner, you know, rather than thinking, actually, do we need to?
And the problem is, I can almost see it now, whenever they do, somebody's going to make that jump at some point, and it's going to be seen as a negative. And I think that's they've got the fear that the mass market aren't that fixated about battery life. But I think people are. Yeah.
Everyone talks about battery life.
Yeah, faster and a battery that lasts are becoming the key things.
Yeah.
So.
But you know, heck, they're the biggest company in the world. Why? They ain't going to be listening to people like us. But, you know, that's just the feeling I get anyway. I'd love a bigger battery.
Well, especially Fat Johnny. He's never going to tune in now.
I think he'd still take me in a fight as well.
in your dreams.
So what was I saying?
That's where you
put me off.
Camera.
So the camera. So actually quite impressive little camera. They've obviously got less space to play with. It's another reason why make it 20% thinner when it just makes your life harder. Why not just get the better camera? But they have put a better camera in. They've put some clear blue sapphire glass or something. So it's scratch resistance and nice and clear, effectively.
And the interesting test will be the Nokia 920. And I know we chuckled last week because they've kind of spoofed all their shots. But they did then give people the camera, and the low light performance was excellent compared to a lot of the other cameras. And certainly Apple yesterday was saying, oh, we can do low light as well.
Yeah, and they're talking about how it's better at adapting to awkward lighting situations.
And
the thing
I've actually not gotten is the show notes, but there was the panoramic kind of idea. So hold the button down and just do that, and you get a panoramic.
Yes, and they were talking about how clever that was as far as removing duped people in it. And that all does sound very clever and great. It does. I'll tell you what, on the Android, it's brilliant. I mean, it's one of the best features, I think. It's just so easy to do.
I wonder if it's patented. I wonder if they'll get sued.
I wonder. But interestingly, you do it in portrait mode on the iPhone, and it creates, I think it says, a 28 megapixel image, which I don't know if you buy the 16 gig. I don't even know. It comes in 16 gig. I can't remember.
It does. But,
yeah, so that's going to be like four photos. but it did look good. As I said, it makes kids look happier.
Right. Yeah. So the one thing I was a bit, the new connector.
Yes, so lightning.
So first of all, they've called it lightning, but and they say it's faster, but it's still USB 2.
Is it? They gave away no details about it.
Exactly. So I guess the good thing is, so, because that, I mean, let's be honest, the connector that's been on all these devices is pretty annoying. It's big, it's pretty ugly. It kind of clicks in. It's got to go in the right way. And at least with this one, you don't need to worry about which way it goes in. It just goes in and it'll connect and it'll sync. But what a rip! It's £25 to get the little adapters for the old ports.
Because again, they were very shy on giving prices away on that.
£25. So how many docks have people got in their cars, stereos, all that kind
of
stuff?
And not only that won't work for those ones where you just sit the device into the thing there, into your, like there's plenty of stereos which have just got a recess.
Yep.
Where you plonk it in, and it's not going to work for those things. Yep. So,
and the other one was that there was no mention of it during the actual presentation, but in Europe, I think they all signed up for the little micro USBs to power it by.
Correct. Everyone but Apple.
Yeah. Well, buy the adapter for £15. So they have have complied as long as you buy the adapter.
the thing I kind of worry about more than anything is, we knew they were going to do it, and yes, they kept chuffing on about the fact it's been 10 years since they last updated their connector, and okay, fair enough, but I bet you design into it is more restrictions about things being able to, other things being able to connect to their network. I bet there's sort of hardware in there that stops it.
The one I'm surprised at already, the only video out is going to be over AirPlay, so via the cables you can't get a video out anywhere.
Wow.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
So it comes in black and white. They're going to keep the prices the same as per normal.
Yep.
They're dropping the prices of the range below, so you effectively on contract you can get the 4 for free and the 4S for $99, I think I'm right.
Yeah, and the 3GS is gone.
So yeah, 3GS chopped.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yes, and so if you want a slightly taller phone, bigger, better sort of aspect ratio on it, then well, I say better. Different.
Well, I think there's one aspect I think it is better, and it's more the 16:9. So when you're watching that, you know, video on it, it will make more sense.
Yeah, it does make quite a big difference having and a, I do, you know, letterbox in it.
I do think there's certain apps that will benefit from that, just having that slightly bigger screen. And still for me, you know, when I think about the difference it makes, because it is more closer to the edge of the phone and stuff, I think, you know, it's all still usable with one thumb and nice and easy. I'm comfortable with it.
Lots of people just saying, well, I wasn't amazed by that Apple announcement because I knew everything already. Well, it's so much blooming furore around all these things. It's not that surprising, but
no. And they talked
anyway. So people were going, well, where's the innovation? But you think it's a phone. It's bigger. It's faster. It's better in most respects.
It's hard to do.
What were you expecting to do?
It's hard. And I think this is a thing. When I was talking to a couple of colleagues about it, and one of them's actually got Apple shares, and he was very disappointed and just saying, where's the innovation? You know, where's the brand new thing? It's like, but what would you do?
It's a phone. There can, you know, it is
an ongoing thing.
It's a refinement. It's a refinement, 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 which is great. It's a great, you know, it is a great phone. I say it's a great phone. I've never used it or whatever, but it's, you know, it's along the right lines. It will sell and shed loads.
For me,
then don't have to worry about
that. For me, it's a refinement of probably my most used device. And the one that is my little traveling computer. You know, whether you like it or not, that's what they've turned into.
I'm still very much contemplating just getting a plain old non-smartphone. I'm so sick of mine now.
Well, I think
anyway, we'll see. I've got till January because of blooming contracts.
Well,
hate them.
We'll come on to it maybe when we're talking about the iPods. I think there's a real argument for a bog standard phone and just getting like an iPod Touch.
Yeah, that's definitely crossed my mind. So we are already over where we should be. So let's quickly crack on with iTunes.
I should just like to point one thing out. I will be I will be updating.
You will be what?
I will be upgrading. I will be buying one.
Yeah, no, and come January, there's going to be a strong chance that I will as well. I don't know. Sadly.
You're right. Let's crack through this.
Yep. iTunes, they've basically tweaked their store. Wonderful. It's got the iCloud baked in rather than as a tack-on, really.
See, to be honest, I don't know what that means. They said that as a big thing, and it's like, I've got iTunes right now, and it's got iCloud built in. So
you say that, but most of my songs seem to just grey themselves out for no bloody reason, and this means I can't play half my library, which I'm quite pissed off about as it happens.
Okay.
So if they bake it in so it actually works, then great. But they've got a new store which they're touting, blah blah blah, and you know, just slightly new design cues across the whole range. Wonderful stuff. I'm sure it will make them sell more.
Strange thing for me, late October seemed a bit odd to be doing all this, and this is late October. So I thought that was a bit odd.
And then the kind of surprise of the evening was the iPods, really.
Yeah,
they've released a new Nano.
Yep.
Which basically is back to having a slightly bigger screen again. It was the last iteration of the Nano was a little square thing, almost like a watch that you could wear as a watch, in fact, that had just four icons on it or something like that. I can't remember. Really cut down. So they've extended it. They've stretched it again. Very, very light and thin again. You've got apps built in, including a fitness app. So they're trying to, I think it's basically Nike Plus, isn't it? But all built in.
Yep. And Bluetooth support. So again, you can AirPlay, you know, you can do all that nonsense. So
you can hook up to any, if you've got Bluetooth headphones for gym and stuff like that. FM tuner built in. I can't remember whether they took that out last time, but it's got the FM builder built in, FM tuner built in, and you can pause it. You can do live pause, which is a clever little thing.
I think the only thing that disappointed people was that everybody wanted all those features in the little square so they could use it as a watch.
Because then, yes, but yeah, but they've put video back on, so they took that off for the little square because it wasn't suited to that little square thing, and now they've put it back. So it's kind of one of those features they don't know whether they want it to do or not, or maybe it's just the differentiator. I thought that this was a great little device, actually.
So did I. I thought it was great, especially see if you just, you know, for a little, you know, fitness app, you know, if you, and I know it's, yeah. I know it's not cheap.
No, it's $149, and I think over here it's £129.
£129, and it comes in 8 colours.
Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Not yellow, though.
Yeah, it does.
No, it's green. Lime, really.
Oh, it's like, well, it says iPod Nano yellow.
Okay, well, it's not.
Okay, it's not. Anyway, it's not a cheese not yellow. Well, it's, and exactly. I know what a cheese yellow is. Okay, so
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I thought it had a compelling proposition. This, especially for the, you know, gym lovers, stuff like that. Yeah, and so I am quite tempted by it in that respect.
Definitely,
because my phone again is so rubbish. Do you forget? That's been an ongoing theme now. I've got to stop moaning about my phone. Right. iPod Touch as well, they've upgraded it, not quite to iPhone 5 standards, but not far off. So they've made it a bigger screen.
Well, they've made it the same screen, and previously the screens, yep, always fell behind. So I thought that was a really good plus point.
Yep.
And also six millimeters thin.
Oh, don't you start.
6 millimeters thin.
6 millimeters thick.
6 millimeters thin. Just, I had to keep with
it. You've fallen in.
I had to keep with the thing. No, because when I was writing up the notes last night, and as he said it, I was like, "You cocks."
Again, the old one was pretty thin. So, and again, why is there a need to go thinner? I don't really understand.
88 grams. I mean, it's now getting to.
Yeah, it's not there. It's not there anymore. But I don't understand that obsession. It's beyond me a bit, really. I mean, but again, people wiser than me know more. They're whacking the A5 chip in it, not the A6. But they're saying because of what was in there before, that's actually going to be like a 7 times graphic improvement over what was before.
Yep.
And tons of battery life. So one of the benefits. I mean, they talked about the A6 being lighter, smaller, less power hungry. But somehow the A5 here seems to be doing quite a lot of battery life. I guess it doesn't have wire aerials to power and all that kind of stuff.
No, and I think that's a big difference. You know, all the kind of 3G and LTE stuff.
Yeah. So the camera is also not up to the iPhone 5 standard. So it's a 5 megapixel camera, but it has got the sapphire glass.
And it is a big step up, but in the previous Touch.
Yes, it's quite been a while since we've had the sort of Touch upgrade, yep, isn't it?
And the crazily named iPod Touch Loop.
Yeah.
Which is, what the
you can,
hell?
You can attach a strap,
yep,
basically.
So you can turn it into like a little camera by a strap.
I think it's because they realise that people want to buy these for the kids, and a bit like, you know, you have with the DS, a strap to make sure they don't drop it. It's another way of protecting, yep, your device.
And it's also got Siri, so the kids can say, how does mummy and daddy make babies? And Siri will, I'm sure, educate them.
Probably would.
And 5 colours, yeah, which I thought was really good as well.
Yeah,
people,
that, again, it differentiates like it from the iPhone, doesn't it? And again, it's more like towards the kid market, because I think they realise that there's all these apps for kids, and parents aren't always that keen to buy them an iPad because they cost a lot of money. So why not buy an iPod Touch, which nearly costs as much?
But the price,
because they're quite expensive.
It starts at £250.
Yeah, so it's not cheap.
It's not cheap at all.
But then what's a contract-free iPhone is probably more like £600 to £800, right?
I still felt it just looked pricey. I think the design of them, and it looks really, really good, and I can see them selling, but it looks pricey.
Aye.
Looks pricey.
But they will sell. They just will. EarPods. And in fact, like going back to what you were saying earlier, it is quite a compelling thing to say, right, why not just get the iPod Touch and then have a phone that does something else. There you go. EarPods. Now, they've kind of said that there's been an excuse for why their earbuds have been so rubbish for so many years, because apparently they've been working on this for 3 years.
But every 3 or 4 years, Apple turn around and say, you know, our earbuds are not the best, so we've redesigned them from the ground up. And it's like,
they've never got it right yet, have they?
No. See, for all the design talk that they keep on babbling about, including last night, where they showed you little 3D scans of ears and ears getting scanned.
And not only that, they showed an earbud going into an ear and then sound waves going into your ear so you could hear. Amazing. I had no idea that's how you were supposed to design earphones.
Who knew?
Just unbelievable. No one's ever come up with that innovation before.
All I want to know is if they use Fat Johnny's ears, because if they have, then I think for a lot of people, they're not going to fit.
I have to say, one of the ear shots that they showed about scanning, that one of them was a woman with very, very strange ears. She must have been embarrassed. Oh my God, there's my ear. Sorry, whoever the ear that was. But anyway, so yeah, earpods, but they're gonna come with the iPod Touch, and they're going to come with the Nano, but they're not coming. Am I right? But they're not coming with the Shuffle and things like that.
No, but they are coming with the phone.
Yes, you get it with the phone. So you'll be able to tell us whether they are any good.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned, are going to be the people who are supply the LTE connectivity in the UK. And I guess you might as well take us through whether you're thinking of going to
I was. And I guess it was as soon as it was, you know, as it happened and it was all confirmed, you're like, oh, good grief. This
you see why O2 are pissed off, can't you?
Well,
because everyone's like you, oh, I better go there then.
O2 are hacked off. But at the same time, EE have just launched and there's nothing in place. You don't, if I want to buy an iPhone 5 or EE, whatever we want to call them, I need to sign up with Orange. And if you're
right, so yeah,
and if you look at Orange, the most they'll do, data wise is a gig, and there's no,
yes, they are stingy,
it's rubbish. And this is what I have the fear about, that I don't want. So, you know, my options yesterday and today were, you know, stick with O2, and the data is not bad, but it's pretty stingy, like Orange. Move over to EE, so sign up with Orange, and at some point migrate to a 4G contract, and I've no idea in pricing, you've no idea in performance, you've no idea if it is it going to hit, you know, where I am in Glasgow, is it more limited? Or go with 3, which is unlimited, and you kind of know what you're going to get. So my call that I've made today is I've went with 3. Because it's, for me, data is more important now than, you know, how many minutes I get and how many texts I get. And 4G is just too much of an unknown. I don't want to pay, you know, £40-50 a month to get 4G.
No, especially if you can only use it in this really microclimate where chances are I'll be able to have Wi-Fi anyway.
And we might be wrong, but I'm just basing it on what's happened before. When 3G first came out, it was really limited and it was really expensive. And I expect this to be much the same.
We will know more in about a year's time, effectively. So yeah, you know, watch this space and be happy with a 3 contract till then.
To be fair, I decided not to go with a contract phone. I've just went SIM only. I will buy the unlocked phone again, and I'm on a monthly, so I can move.
But you don't know how much that's going to cost either, right?
What, the phone?
Yeah,
£600.
Is that how much the iPhone 5 is going to cost?
Well, it starts at £529 for the 16 gig, £600 and £700.
And that's completely unlocked as a phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't realise those prices have been announced. So actually, £600. Okay.
It's the same as the 4S. The same as the 4.
Still a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but see if you went onto a year or 2 year contract, you end up paying much the same.
Yes, it doesn't make very much difference at all. And I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it?
If anything, I pay a bit less. But yeah, it's that initial, I've got to spend that much.
You don't pay as much less as I'm trying to work out the wording for this. I would like to think that I would pay a lot less by paying all that money up front, but you don't. I guess the competitive market is now so shrunk their profit margins, they really don't make much.
I felt quite sorry for whoever was staffing O2's Twitter account last night. I know we're drafting over time, but I have to say this.
Yeah.
I tweeted out that, decision time, do I stick with O2, go with 3, or move over to EE? And all 3 could come back. They just came back and says, don't go, please stay.
Well, they got all that advantage from being the only ones with iPhones. Yeah, they lost all of that. And the thing is,
it's like, you know, EE are sitting there saying, well, we're going to be fastest. And then 3, to be fair, came in and says, look, you know, yeah, they're going to be faster, but we'll be on LTE soon enough and we're unlimited. And you're like,
For the time being, in brackets. They've done it for a while now, so yeah, don't say anything. Don't put a downer on it. Apple, they announced that they're going to put FaceTime over 3G, or networks are going to support them allowing to have 3G.
And this comes by iOS coverage. 6, which we never, I didn't even want to cover because there was nothing new about iOS 6.
We've talked about iOS 6 and we'll probably chat about it once we've actually got it on a device.
Well, it's out next week. It's out next Wednesday, so.
Very excited. I'm not, because I can't use it.
Great.
I will on my iPad.
Yeah.
Woo. So anyway, yes, they're gonna mobile carriers have pretty much said, okay, we'll let you use your device as it's supposed to be used for FaceTime. So yes, you can actually do video chatting to your friends and family.
But as found out by Wired, and I guess in America, it was AT&T fairly controversially said, yeah, that we all have it enabled, but your current package won't cover it. So your current data, your current phone won't cover it. You're going to have to pay extra. But in the UK, So far, Orange, T-Mobile, O2 and EE have all confirmed that customers will be able to use FaceTime over 3G out of their regular data bundle. So whatever your data package covers. The ones that haven't are Vodafone. They're saying that they're going to have VoIP included in their package to use this, opposed to just the regular data, and three haven't confirmed.
What about Skype, which has been doing this for ages
exactly.
now?
Exactly. I would be surprised, but if three said yes, because this is going to bust that bandwidth. But anyway.
Well, is it? Because how many people use it? Nobody. Nintendo, where have they come from?
Cock.
They are around still. they've given us a launch date for the Wii U. This is the device that their next Wii, basically, which they announced E3, was it last year?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. So.
Well, they announced it last year, and then they did nothing with it this year apart from more.
It got released, it got announced, and they showed some prototypes and some demos, and never really got a lot of traction. It was kind of out the back in this weird warehousey area, and people said, oh, it's quite clever, but... you know, is that really the next thing for the console market? And people were pretty skeptical. But anyway, next we've heard they've given us a release date of 18th of November. So this year.
Yeah, so America is 18th. Europe's the 30th of November. And the biggest surprise is Japan's last, 8th of December.
Says something, doesn't it? That's weird.
Very weird. The bit
probably because they know that they're going to be shoving boxes around from country to country.
But the bit that surprises me most is that, I mean, this got announced today, so like a couple of months before release. Usually
this
the consoles, you get a big six...
political amount, you know, where you get rid of your bad news, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, day after big announcements.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know this was happening. I was on Twitter this morning and it was like, oh, November. What, this year?
So yeah, it's November this year. So for Christmas season, I guess it's people. If there's no big Christmas product, I'm sure they'll sell some just because of that.
Yep.
I mean, we haven't heard about the Christmas product yet, other than the iPhone.
No.
The iPod's the same. So basically, there's going to be different storage amounts available. So an 8 gig version, £250, 32 gigabyte version, £285. But I think you said that comes with lots of caveats on what you actually get in your box and what you need.
Yeah, I mean, the basic one comes with gamepad, AC adapter, 8 gig hard drive or 8 gig flash RAM, what you call it, in the machine itself. The premium one comes with that plus a Wii sensor bar, a copy of a game called Nintendo Land, a subscription somewhere else. So it sounds like the premium one is probably what most folk are going to go for. Especially if you've already got a Wii, but the bit of surprise, it's only coming with one controller because the controller is a tablet. You know, it is a screen and a tablet, and it's big.
That's right. And it's the idea of the controller is it takes an integral part, so there's different stuff being output onto your screen and your pad.
I think the price in America is going to work out is just over £100 for an extra controller.
So it's going to be about £110-120 here.
Yeah, and it's a big old price for.
Yes, when you just saw that. So effectively, that means it's nearly £400 then. Yep. I mean, we're back to Xbox original territory, aren't we?
Without any games. And I mean, you think back to when Xbox comes out, it's like second pads are given, but that's £30. It's a big difference.
Yep.
Big difference. Yep. So there's nine kind of games coming out: Super Mario Brothers U, Nintendo Land, there's FIFA 13, Mass Effect 3, there's Zombie U. And I think the big announcement was an exclusive, it was Bayonetta 2. So Bayonetta came out last year, maybe a year before.
Oh, I think it's even longer than that. Yeah, to rave reviews, yet no one bought it.
No, so Bayonetta 2 is coming out. It looked quite impressive. But overall, and it might just be me, because I didn't pick up a Wii, this was just like, blah. It was...
I'm just over gaming. I just totally am, I'm afraid. I'm getting quite excited when the Grand Theft Auto arrives, I'm sure.
I am a bit, but I'm pretty sure I will still pick up an Xbox when it comes out, but I won't be buying another PlayStation, I don't think. I think that's me done. Oh, and the reason I'll pick up the Xbox is probably it'll probably have Blu-ray. I act on a Blu-ray player, and I'll still buy the FIFA.
To be quite honest, anything that's got a Halo on it.
Yeah.
Let's get on to some broadband red tape that has been cut because Maria Miller has taken over from Mr. Hunt as our person in charge of our broadband, and obviously. They were making some pretty loud squawks earlier in the year about how we were going to be the best super fast broadband nation in, well, they were like in Europe, I think, or something. They spouted quite energetically. They have been retracting lots of those statements, but one of the things that has happened is that Maria is now chopping a lot of red tape around local government, where residents were putting objections in because they didn't want these blooming cabinets sat at the edge of their on their street.
And some of the cabinets can get quite big. And
I've not seen them.
No, they can get quite big, and people are saying, "Well, no,
you know, not in my street."
Basically, so it's back to the NIMBY nonsense, you know. And it's like people want the services but don't want the inconvenience if they have a big ugly box.
I mean, if they put a cabinet right blocking my drive, I think I'd probably be pissed off.
But it wasn't blocking anybody's drive. It was on the street, and people were saying it spoils the
probably right next door to the British Telecom one that's already there.
Exactly. So I think this is sensible. You know, stop.
Yeah, totally.
Going back to your talk about the tweaking, they have tweaked to now say it's not the fastest in Europe, but the fastest in major European countries. And major was like, you know, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. So don't mention any of the Nordic ones, which are already blown us away. And that was a bit, that was crazy. It was like, we're going to be the fastest in Europe. You're sitting there like, we're not. We're just not.
Exactly.
But now clearly we misheard, and Jeremy Hunt said major Euro countries.
Hopefully, though, some of this rhetoric and some of the stick they'll get from backtracking means that they'll have to at least back up some of their words to make themselves not lose too much face, which would be a good thing. So we should embarrass them more and more. Google Drive, they've been updating their iOS and Android apps in positive directions.
Yes, Google Drive's been out for quite a while. This update actually lets you edit documents. When it first came out, I thought that was a whole point of Google Drive, and then it was like, okay, so it's just like a viewer.
And it did work on Android, it just didn't on iOS.
No. So this latest update, I could pick a doc, make some simple edits. I mean, it's not as full-featured as the web client, but...
Well, that's not necessarily expected, is it, at
no,
this stage?
No, but for me, it just let me... I could quickly and easily just, you know... open up the doc, make some edits, save it back. It only works on documents, not spreadsheets, but that's coming soon. So a nice update.
Yeah, and things are moving so quick that, yeah, you can imagine that quite happily. Yeah, good.
Good, good.
Wunderbar. That is it for our podcast, which is just as well because we run over again. Never mind. One day we'll get back to being super slick. Just maybe not one day soon. I haven't got any picks. I have you?
No.
Good. Right. Let's get on and let's get out of the door. So if you want to find out more, you can. DigitalOutbox.com. Email info@DigitalOutbox.com. Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. And I am on Twitter if you want to follow my tweets at CheesyUK. And Ian, where can we find you?
Blogsindy.net. Twitter the Sweeper.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar.
Let's get out of here. Speak to you later. Bye.
Bye. That wasn't too bad, considering there was quite a bit to cover.
Yeah, we got through it. And I didn't even do a Tim Cook impression.
I was quite disappointed. I was going to...
I know, I was gearing up to it, and I thought, what if I get it wrong? So I didn't. The thing is, I got it so right last time that it's all downhill from then on. Just leave it at that.
You have set an expectation.
Leave it at that. So I'm going to...
Quit while you're ahead.